want to hear something about deity worship, Shrimurti Seva, which is one of the Panchanga Bhakti. Shrimurti Shraddha Seva, to serve the beautiful deity forms of the Lord, Radha and Krishna, Gaura Nitai, Mahaprabhu, Giridhari, Jagannath Swami, Baladev and Subhadra, with love and devotion and great faith. So the required element is faith. So faith develops by studying Shastra and by experience and by hearing from great devotees. We hear about Sakshi Gopal walking from Vrindavan and his Gopal temple in Vrindavan 500 or 600 years ago, and he followed his Brahmin devotee Vaishnav to uphold his vow of the old Brahmin. Sakshi Gopal left the deity, walked behind one young Brahmin, went all the way to Vidyanagara, which is south of Orissa, Jagannath Puri. Of course, later he was moved to nearby Jagannath Puri, and Sakshi Gopal, the village is named after him. So this is a story of deity. There's stories of Srinathji and Madan Mohan and so many beautiful charitras or Shrimurti Leelas, Thakurji Leelas, the pastimes of Bunky Bihari. Someone came to see him and he was blind. It was very early in the morning. He didn't know what time it was. And deity left the temple and went to follow his bhakta. And Bunky Bihari was found by the Jamuna. So Mujari said we should not let him close the curtains too long because he may run away with a devotee, some other bhakta. So they open and close the curtains in rapid succession every half a minute or so to make sure Bunky Bihari doesn't sneak off. So these are some pastimes collected in a book published by Pankajungri. Pankajungri Das, the twin brother of Shananivas, who is the head pujari of one of the head pujaris of ISKCON Mayapur, Radhamata of Asasaki Mandir, and the Sringa Mandir and this Jagannath temple. And this deity of Jagannath, the ISKCON became in charge of this deity since about 30 years. And this deity is located in Rajapur. Now this is some of the Leelas, Jagannath Murti Leelas. So by hearing these pastimes, it's simply the reporting of a devotee and what happened when he approached the Lord, or how the Lord treated his devotees or the non-devotees and what they realized by that. So these stories illustrate sometimes inconceivable activities or unbelievable activities. But this is God, that these very unbelievable and inconceivable activities prove the transcendental position of the deity, that the deity is Sakshat Hari. There are five different forms of Bhagavan. There's Bhagavan Sarup, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the original Adi Sarup of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Then there's Kayavyuha expansions, and there's Vaibhav Prakash, and there's Paramatma, Chaitya Guru. And finally, it's Shrimurti form. It's one of the five forms of the Lord. And they're all acting on the principle of transcendence, what is called the Chintya Shakti, inconceivable power, abilities. Gatana Agatana Patiyasi Shakti. Gatana Agatana Patiyasi Shakti means the power, potency to do make the impossible possible, or possible impossible. It's all the sweet will of the Lord displayed towards his surrendered and this devotee, and or even sometimes towards the non-devotees, which establishes the supremacy of the Lord and the omnipresence of the Lord and the localized presence of the Lord, and moreover it establishes a personal reciprocation of the Lord through his Murti form, which is a full representative of Satchidananda Vigraha. Satchidananda Parabrahman Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is fully manifested in his Archamurti, in his Shrimurti form, be it Ashtadhatu or Daru Brahman or clay or wood or whatever. even the Manasamurti, a deity of the Lord of the mind, which one worships, can fully reciprocate with the worshiper in any of unlimited ways. So these stories show that. And by hearing them, we hear them at first, oh, that's amazing. Oh, I can't believe it. Really? That happened? Well, why not? And God is God, after all. And the Srimurti is also God, after all. So therefore, God can do anything and everything. All possibilities are with Him. And similarly, the Srimurti can do anything and everything. And all possibilities are with Him, because He's operating with a Chintya Shakti, inconceivable, unfathomable power, which escapes our powers of reason and logic to calculate or understand or figure out. And therefore, He always remains in His position above us and beyond us, and maintains His position of worshipable, our worshipable Thakur and Lord. So let's hear these different stories, and with an open mind and a faithful heart and a believing heart, and accept them as the Lord's Leelas. And hopefully by hearing them, we increase our attachment to our personal deities, and we'll increase our belief and faith in serving the Lord, Srimurti Shraddha Seva, and we'll serve the Lord with great faith and great devotion and great care, very carefully and very personally and attentively, so that Krishna will be pleased, and someday in some different ways the Lord will manifest Himself to us, engage in leelas with us, as He has with all these wonderful devotees of the Lord. The pastimes begin in chapter 3. These are pastimes from the 1950s to the 1970s, which is just subtitled as The Mercy of Lord Jagannath in Rajapur. They're called, you know, Rajapur, which is near Mayapur. I thought one of the interesting points about this deity of Jagannath, his tilak, as a standard vertical urdhvapanjra tilak, like most Vishnu deities or Krishna deities. But then on the nose piece, which is usually tulsi leaf, he has the shape of a heart. Like when someone draws a picture of a human heart. Maybe it's a banyan leaf, I don't know. It could be the sign of some sampradaya, like Advaita Sampradaya or some other. But it appears to the superficial gaze to look like a human heart. And certainly these deities, and as you hear their stories, they're really capturing the heart. They're very emotionally filled stories and love-filled stories, full of sentiments of transcendental reciprocation and bhakta-vatsalya between Lord and His devotees. So these pastimes were Lord Jagannath showing mercy in the Fatik Chatterjee's family. These were told by some devotee named Gauri Devi, the youngest daughter of Sri Patak Chatterjee. Of course, this is a Brahmin family, and apparently they were taking care of the deities before ISKCON became in charge. In 1971, India was fighting a war with Bangladesh, and there was lots of agitation in the villages of India, especially Bengal, which is so near Bangladesh. The previous owner of this Jagannath temple in Rajapur was named Fatik Chatterjee. He was, of course, a Hindu, and he had 7 daughters, but he's a little bit afraid because nearby there was a village inhabited by lots of Muslims, and he was afraid they may become agitated due to the Hindu-Muslim war going on in Bangladesh. So to protect his 7 daughters, he moved away to Katwa, about 1 hour away. But one of the local Muslims asked him, please come back to Rajapur. But Fatik Chatterjee refused. That Muslim person said, don't worry, you come back and take care of Jagannath. We will give you all protection. Again, Fatak politely refused because of his attachment to protecting the virginity of his 7 daughters. And then the Muslim actually confessed why he was actually approaching him and asking Chatterjee to return. He said, actually, Panditji, We have been hearing some very strange voices coming from the temple, and we're a little bit afraid. One of these voices are saying, "Why isn't anyone coming here anymore to see me? Why is no one feeding us any longer?" So we are hearing these voices, Chatterjee Sahib, and we become very frightened. And all my fellow Muslims, they have asked me to approach you and beg you to please come back. And don't worry, we will give you 24-hour guard. Somehow, Pandit Chatterjee returned and to the village to worship his Jagannath, and the villagers, although Muslims, gave this Hindu Brahmin full protection. So this story is called, "Why is No One Feeding Us?" Now this story is called, "I Saw a Light Hovering Over Lord Jagannath." Once when Chatterjee's daughter was getting married, one of his daughters is getting married, a group of agitators showed up. They were actually thieves and dacoits. But because the wedding was in full swing, he invited them in, saying, "Yes, please come and take some prasad." When there's a wedding, there's lots of gold around. And they were a little nervous because these dacoits were watching them with the obvious intention of stealing. Then this group of dacoits began to argue among themselves. And then they dispersed. A few nights later, the leader of that dacoit group that tried to rob the gold during the wedding, he came to Phatak and he said, "I want to speak to you." And this Brahmin Phatak, being a little weary and afraid, he said, "You don't mind, I'm not going to open the door." And the dacoit, or the thief, he's actually a thief, he said, "Listen, be assured. Just trust me, I want to tell you something. When your daughter was being married the other day, we came to rob you. But when we were planning the robbery, we saw a bright light coming from Jagannath's temple and was hovering right over you. I knew that that was not an ordinary event. I told the others what I saw and I said, we will not be successful in this robbery. We will not get any gold tonight." But some of the dacoit members, they wanted to go ahead with the robbery. They became angry and we started fighting among ourselves and then everyone left. So in this way, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra protected their pujari by this arrangement of illuminating his head with this bright light. This story is called Unusual Footprint. Once Snan Yatra day, when Lord Jagannath was going to be bathed out in the open, Phatak Chatterjee's wife, Nirmal Devi, became very sick. It rained heavily that day, and many people gathered in the temple of Jagannath. Nirmal Devi, being sick, remained in bed all day. When Phatak came back to his house, he saw an unusual footprint on the floor. He understood that this is the footprint of Jagannath himself. Understanding that, he took dust of that footprint, Charanaraj, and he placed some on his head. And then he put some on his wife, and she immediately recovered from her illness. This is the unusual footprint. Jagannath apparently walked over there and invisibly paid a visit to this wife of the pujari, of his pujari, the ailing wife, and left some visible footprints there, tangible footprints, which the pujari realized, took advantage of to use that Krishna Charanaraj, Jagannath Dev. Charanaraj is a suitable dawa, or aushadi, or medicine to cure his wife's illness. This is called, "Did You See Anything Unusual Last Night?" This pujari, Mr. Banerjee, or Babu as they call him, he also used to worship Mother Kali, goddess Durga. So to do that, on Amavasya, he brought one goat to sacrifice, but somehow the goat ran away. Everyone was searching for the goat, including his youngest daughter, Gauri, and her niece, Kalpana. While they were looking for this stray goat, they suddenly saw the deities of Jagannath and Krishna, or at least they saw the images of Jagannath and Krishna in front of her. It was a very beautiful, deep black color, and their bodies were decorated with ornaments. They had attractive crowns, and they were laughing. Kalpana was engaged elsewhere, so Gauri tried to attract her attention to see these forms. So Kalpana ran there, but she could not see them, although she tried to see what Gauri was perceiving. The next day, one neighbor named Jaimini Ghosh, he was inspired by Jagannath. He asked his daughter of Chatterjee, the Pujari, his daughter Gauri, to tell her parents if she had seen anything unusual last night. Then Gauri narrated the above incident. So here it shows that even the daughter of the Pujari, head Pujari, Mr. Chatterjee, Babuji, his young daughter was somehow blessed with the darshan of Jagannath. And these are stories told by Dilip Bhattacharya, some relative of this pundit. It's called Jagannath Removes Darkness. When this Dilip was 10 years old, he got Brahman Diksha, and this Chatterjee was eager to engage them as Jagannath Pujaris. And per the proper rituals, they remained inside for 3 days and came out on the fourth day. This boy, Dilip, and some other cousins who took Diksha, they were excited to have bald, shaved heads and wear wooden shoes. And they decided to go to visit a nearby market at Bamanapukur. While they were returning in the evening, they felt very afraid for some reason. So they all huddled up together on the side of the road. Previously, this Pujari, Mr. Chatterjee, Bhattak Chatterjee, he told the boys if they ever feel frightened here and there, they should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, the name of Jagannath, and the Gayatri mantra that they had just been initiated into in their Upanayanam, Sanskara, Om Bhurvavasva. Remembering that instruction that Chatterjee gave them at the time of initiation, they began to chant these mantras. Suddenly, from the Shikara, or the dome of Jagannath's temple, they saw a brilliant blue light shooting up into the sky, which lit up the entire area. Although out of fear, the boys were still huddled up together, not moving anywhere. Somehow, they broke up from that huddle and went to their own houses, and they all fell flat on the floor. They told Pujari Chatterjee what happened, and he told them that Jagannath had protected them. This story is called Effulgence from the Temple. Dilip's mother went to offer deepam to Jagannath. After some time, everyone noticed there was a tremendous amount of light emanating from inside the temple. They thought that maybe a rat pulled down the ghee lamp and had caught in fire inside the temple. But when they ran there, they saw a strong blue light coming from underneath the door. However, when they opened the door, they didn't see any light. It had disappeared. There was no more blue light to be seen anywhere. What they could do is they could smell the beautiful fragrance of frankincense everywhere. So maybe Jagannath was walking around the temple and illuminating the temple with this Nila Jyoti, beautiful blue sapphire effulgence. When he heard them coming, he ran back in the altar. Just the fragrance of his body. Of course, Jagannath or Sri Krishna Vasudeva Krishna's body, it's never really described as frankincense, but it certainly smells very wonderful. It's described as smelling like a combination of kasturi and aguru, on Karpur, Kaffir, and Sandalwood. There's a story called Don't Leave This Place. In 1986, the temple was given to ISKCON, and shortly afterwards, the aging pujari left his body. And the other pujari, Ram Bhattacharjaji, he was assisting this Mr. Chatterjee. He went back to his home and stayed there in his own village. But while he was home, this Mr. Bhattacharya and his wife, let's say they had an amazing experience. The wife started foaming at the mouth, and this Ram Bhattacharya, he started choking. His eyes started bulging from their sockets as if he was getting strangled to death. After some time, they came back to normal, but they were very shaken and disturbed by the event. Later on, Lord Jagannath appeared before Ram and sat on his chest, telling that he cannot leave Rajapur. He has to stay there and serve him. So now this Ram Bhattacharya, he stated to Jagannath, he promised as long as he lived he would not go anywhere else. He advised his children to do the same. Consequently, they built a house right next to the Jagannath temple. This story is called I Must Take Darshan of Jagannath. After this Ram Bhattacharya disappeared, their son, who was now the Pujari Dilip, he tried to move back to their ancestral village of Bail Pakur or any place where he could make more money. But all the time, Jagannath would come in his Swapnar dreams and sometimes appear in a loving mood and sometimes in a fearful, threatening mood, telling this Dilip Pujari not to go away from Jagannath. At least not to go away from his village near Jagannath. So now Dilip is saying, if I don't visit Jagannath 2 days in a week, everything in the house gets disturbed and life becomes irritating. And still now, so many problems I constantly face. I just go and inform Lord Jagannath, whom he calls Dada, just like people in Braj, they call Giriraj Baba, Giriraj Baba. They go to Baba. Baba means grandfather, Dada means grandfather. So in Bengal, they call Thakurji or Krishna Dada, and Brajvasis call him Baba, Giriraj Baba. And so whenever he has some problem in his house, he goes and prays, and within no time, the problem is solved. Everything becomes peaceful. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, 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 Jai. Now these pastimes were told by a devotee named Jayamini Ghosh. It's entitled, You Have to Maintain Yourself. After the Jagannath temple and the deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra have been repaired, and there was a devotee named Jayamini Ghosh. He wanted to serve them, but he had no money. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath to remove his poverty. So that night, two huge branches fell down from a tree growing beside the temple. So that Jayamini Wala, he sold the wood and got some money, and he was able to serve Jagannath for a few months. Sometime the money was finished, and he again prayed to Jagannath, I can't maintain it. I don't have any more money. I can't maintain you. You have to maintain yourself. From that day on, inside the temple, on the side of the altar, he would find just enough money to pay for the day's puja. So that certainly is a very special, wonderful pastime, that yoga kshemam ahamyaham ananyas chintiyantamam yejana paripashate tesha nityabhyuktanam yoga kshemam ahamyaham. Krishna is telling Gita, those Ananya Bhaktas, those Bhaktas that are totally dedicated to me, and they just want to please me at all costs, and they don't want anything for themselves, and I carry what they lack, and I provide what they, and I preserve what they have. So this seems to be like living like a lila, or let's say, and living like Gita gives the theory, and this is the practice of this verse 9:22. Ananyash chintayanto mam je jana paripasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Krishna tells Arjuna, listen Arjuna, anyone who worships me with exclusive devotion, ananya bhakti, meditating on my beautiful transcendental form, for them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. This is the promise of the Lord, and it's a statement of basic fact. And here, this Jagannath showing that he's maintaining himself and he's nicely, because that challenge was made by his Bajari. Bajari said, "Look, somehow you arranged for this tree to drop some old branches, and we cut them down and sold the firewood and got some money to serve you for 2 months. But now what? It's hand to mouth, day to day. I have no facility and no income to feed you. So listen, Jagannath, you have to feed yourself and maintain yourself, because I have no money, I can't do it. It costs money to buy sabji and sugar and milk and all the things you require. So if you want it, you have to make arrangements for it." So that's Krishna. He does the needful. That's so nicely depicted in Bhagavad Gita, that for his, just indicates what a wonderful devotee this Chaimini Ghosh is. He just depended on the Lord as his maintainer and guardian, and said, "Look, I throw my hands in the air. You want to eat? Send the money. If you don't, forget it." So he did. He arranged for the money. This pastime is called Free Trip to Puri. Another time, this Pujari, Jaimini, fell asleep outside a temple. Somehow when he awoke, he was no longer in Mayapur, Navadvip, West Bengal, but he was in Jagannath Puri, and it was in the middle of the Rath Yatra festival. And he was enjoying the festival for many days. And then he remembered how his parents didn't know anything about where he went. So he thought they'd be worried about him, so he decided to come home, but he didn't have any money for his fare. So he went to some of the pandas there, the priests, the Yatri priests, and the pandas said, "Listen, if Jagannath brought you here, then just go to Jagannath in the temple and ask him to take you back to Mayapur, to Rajapur." So Jaimini did that, and the next morning when he woke up, he found himself back in Rajapur. So that's certainly interesting pastime, free trip to Puri. When we're in Moscow and America and Europe, we want to come to Mayapur or Vrajadham, we should simply go before our deities around festival time, Mayapur, Gaur Pranim, and say, "Oh Gaur Nitai, Oh Nitai Sachi Sutta, Oh Radha Gopi Vallava, Oh Giridhari, Oh Jagannath, whomever we're worshipping, please bless me. Please bless me that somehow I can go to Vrindavan. And then by their mercy we go to sleep and we wake up, we're in Vrindavan." Just like Krishna in Mathura when Jarasandha was attacking for the 17th time. Then Krishna packed up all his palaces and servants and all of his transcendental tadina and paraphernalia, and sent all his nityaparishads, and everyone was shipped mysteriously and magically and mystically at night through the airways and arrived in the island of Dwarka. Anything's possible for the Lord, as I said. These are stories from other sources that occurred between 1950 and 1970, before ISKCON took charge of the temple. Doesn't say who's the source, but it says Lord Jagannath didn't want to leave. Some local Brahmins from a nearby village, they thought they could improve the standard of worship of Jagannath, so they wanted to move him to their village. So they stole Lord Jagannath, but while they were carrying him across the fields, they had to pass urine. They put down Jagannath, but then in return, they couldn't lift Jagannath. They collected some more men, but they still couldn't do it. They realized that Jagannath didn't want to leave, so they came back and told the priest back at Rajapur, Sorry about that. We didn't mean to steal your deities. It was kind of offensive. Your deity is out in the field. You can go and collect him. So then the two Bajaris, who weren't very strong, some skinny Bengalis, they went to the field and they easily picked up Jagannath and carried him back to his home in Rajapur. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So no, the Lord doesn't move by anyone's will but his own. Bhagavan Itcha, if he wants to go, he goes. Even if you try to steal him, he'll go back or become so heavy you can't move him. The same pastime was exhibited in Satyuga by Giriraj when Palatsya Muni was carrying him from Jambu Dweep or whatever Dweep, some Dweep, Ilatavarsha or somewhere. He was carrying him from that place, that island, that universe, and he stopped over Braj and he had to answer the call of nature, so Palatsya Muni set him down, but then Giriraj wouldn't move once he realized he was in Nityadham, Brajadham. This story is called Epidemic. Once there was an epidemic in Rajapur and everyone's getting sick and dying, Jagannath appeared to the Bajari in a dream and explained about a particular medicine or herb that would cure everyone's disease. In the morning, the Bajari told the villagers to gather all these things and make the medicine. They did, but they couldn't find one ingredient because it didn't grow in that area. Some or other, some small boy came to the temple carrying the exact herb that they needed to make the medicine. Then he dropped it off and left that little boy. And then they said, "Who brought this?" And the wife said, "I don't know. Some little charming village boy bought it. Maybe from some other village. I never saw him before." So they made that medicine. Everybody was cured. From that day, Jagannath earned great respect even from the non-Hindus or the Muslims in the area who also got cured of this epidemic killing disease by the mercy of Jagannath, who prescribed the medicine at night to the Bajari and arranged for that medicine to be procured by appearing himself personally and delivering the missing ingredient coming from a distant village. This story is called Don't Show Your Feet to the Deities. Of course, this is one of the niyams or nishedas, do's and don'ts in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Is in one of the 32 deity aparads to point your feet towards a deity. Once upon a time, some local children were playing in front of the Jagannath, and one girl started showing the bottom of her feet in a very bad way towards the Lord. And some other children, more well-behaved children, said, "Don't point your feet like that to Jagannath. This is Thakurji." But the girl didn't care. She was a Muslim girl. She said, "What do I care? I don't care about them." Then within a short time, somehow she got a foot infection, serious foot infection, which spread to her legs, and she couldn't even walk anymore. Of course, she was a child then. Now she's a grown adult. But you can still see her in the village moving around on her knees, because apparently her whole legs have ceased to work properly. She couldn't walk on her feet like ordinary people. Apparently she lost her feet. They fell off from leprosy or they became unworkable, it's not saying. But somehow she's hobbling around the village and moving on her knees, not her feet, which means it's extremely painful, embarrassing, and difficult, to say the least. And that is the punishment she got for pointing her feet towards Thakurji Jagannath. Everyone in Rajapur is pretty fearful of Jagannath, that he's not a small timer, that he has power, inconceivable power. He's not a piece of wood. He's not some voodoo doll or some Hindu statue or idol. That he's a person with feelings and likes and dislikes, and he doesn't like it when somebody proudly and disrespectfully points their feet towards him, or anyway points their feet towards him, which is a show of disrespect and rather dirty also. So they get punished. So this is called heavy punishment, this next story. There's one thief that would often come and steal whatever he could find in the temple. And he was told repeatedly by friends not to do this. And he was warned that the Jagannath deity was very powerful. And he couldn't tolerate that this thief's bad behavior. He should watch out and be careful. But shortly later, he was robbing a local house, and they cut his hands off. A short time, when the police arrested him, he was crying, and he confessed to the police. He said, "Actually, I know why I got my hands cut off. Before you take me to jail for stealing, please take me to Jagannath's temple so I can beg forgiveness from him." That's a heavy punishment. Of course, in Muslim countries ruled by Allah or ruled by the Quran, the punishment for stealing, if you steal with your hands, then you get your hands cut off. So you won't do that anymore. That's actually Mana Samhita, but everything's become modified and diluted with the liberal viewpoint of the modern age. So now you can perform the most heinous crime and go to jail for a year and come out. This story is called "None of Jagannath's Property is Insignificant." This story was told to the Bajari by an old man. When he was a young boy, this same old man was cowherding through the yard of the Jagannath Mandir. At that time, the temple was all broken up and there were all bricks all around the temple. Just for fun, a man picked up one of the bricks from the old temple and he broke it with a stick and he threw it away. But somehow at night when he tried to sleep, he couldn't. And he kept hearing a voice throughout the night, "Why did you throw the brick out of my temple?" The next day he found that brick he threw and put it back exactly where he had removed it from. Only then, he said, could I have some peace. So the property of the Lord is Tadiyanam, it's to be worshipped. Even a brick or a stone or a pebble from the Lord's property or temple is connected to the Lord. Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, Dam, Parishishna, they're all worshipable. Aradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanayos, Sridam Vrindavanam. This verse is there by Srinath Chakravarti, who I believe is a disciple of Srinivas Acharya, or maybe Srivas Thakur, I forget. But he summarized the entire philosophy of Lord Chaitanya in one beautiful verse. These are the teachings of Mahaprabhu in a nutshell. Gauravani. Pure love for Krishna is the ultimate goal, and the Braja Prema of the gopis is the topmost form of pure love of God. This is confirmed and proven and stated by the Bhagavatam, which is the perfect Brahman. So this verse is there. Prabhupada also quotes it. Haradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanayos Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachadupasana Brajavadu Varagena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarta Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Hidam Tatradaro Naparaha. This is actually a key shloka to understand all the Tattva Siddhanta and Sambandha Videya and Prayojana. It gives knowledge of the supreme form of Krishna, Nanda Nandan, the topmost worship for worshipping him, the gopis, puja, archan, the ultimate goal and the ultimate evidence for this are proof of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and the contribution of Rupa Goswami and Rupanuga or Raghunuga Bhakti is contained within this shloka. Bhagavan Rajendra Nandan Sri Krishna is our only worshipful object, our Aradhya Bhagavan, Brajesha Tanayos. In the same way that Rajendra Nandan, the son of Nandamaraj, is worshipful, so his transcendental abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham, is also worshipful. The mood in which the young brides of Braja, Ramya Kachit Upasana, Braja Badu, Varg, Brajavadu Varg, the group of young brides, newly married gopis. The mood in which the young brides of Braj, especially Srimati Radhika, worship Brajendra Nandan Sri Krishna, is the highest perfectional form of Krishna Prema. Srimad Bhagavatam alone and no other scripture is the immaculate, totally pure scriptural evidence, pramanam amalam, for this point, the shabda praman, and Krishna prema is the supreme objective of life, the panchama purusharta, prema pumarta mahan, the great or supreme objective of life, the fifth and highest goal of human life, beyond mundane religiosity, dharma, beyond economic development, art, beyond sense gratification, kam, and beyond impersonal liberation, moksha, or mukti. That is Krishna prema, the prema seva of Sri Krishna and Brajadam. This is the teachings and opinion and viewpoint of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Mahabhav Radharani. We hold this conclusion, Siddhanta, in supreme regard, Adhar, Naparaha, and have no inclination or respect for any other conclusion or cheating opinions. This story is called Lord Jagannath Speaks Through His Devotees. One Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, disciple of a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his name is Damodar Maharaj, who has property in Mayapur nearby ISKCON. He's Prabhupada's godbrother. He told this personally. I was once having darshan of Jagannath years and years ago, when the pujari brought the bhog offering. I myself was previously a pujari at Sri Chaitanya Yogapit for many years. I noticed that the bhoga plate was not covered and there were dogs all around. Of course, that's an offense for dogs to see the thakur's bhog. I also saw that something fell into the bhoga plate as the pujari was passing through the door. But I didn't say anything about it. But later in the day, an old lady dressed in white came and started severely rebuking that negligent, careless pujari. She said, "Why are you offering impure bhoga to Lord Jagannath? You should cover the bhoga with a plate of cloth so nothing falls there, no flies or birds or anything. You must be much more careful in the future." I was surprised and I wondered how this old lady came to know about this, because I was standing there alone watching the pujari. No one else is anywhere around. Actually, from this I understand that we should always respect everyone in the holy dham, because we don't really know who's who or what is the identity of anyone. This is called an offense to Mahaprasad. In this area of Rajapur, this ancient deity, 500 or 600 year old deity of Jagannath Dev, is very popular. And he's considered to be a very, very powerful deity amongst all the local villages. About 25 years ago on Snan Yatra Day, a rickshaw driver stopped and took some Mahakitri Prasad. His friend, who was a Muslim, was also offered Jagannath's Khichdi. But he said, "I don't eat this food offered to idols." And he threw that prasadam on the ground. That night, in his dream, that Muslim saw Balaram sitting on his chest, strangling him, beating him like anything, and saying, "Don't you know that my brother Jagannath is worshipped by honoring his Mahaprasadam, and you dared to throw it on the ground? I want to kill you." That Muslim was very fearful. Subhadra was also there in that room, in that man's dream, along with Baladev. And she was laughing and telling Baladev, "Kill him, kill him, Baladev." Jagannath was also there, and he was also laughing, but he was advising Baladev, "No, no, no, don't kill the poor chap." As a result, that Muslim became very humble and came the next day and fell down before the deity and offered worship to Jagannath. The Vajari found a little scrap of little morsel of Mahaprasad left in a pot and gave it to that man. So this is the fourth chapter. Jagannath resolves a dilemma. These pastimes occurred after ISKCON started taking care of the temple. When ISKCON first got the temple, they would cook tiffana bhoga and bring it in a bicycle down to offer to Jagannath, cook in the Mayapur temple. One day that pujari who came there, he realized he forgot to bring any tulsi leaves for the offering. And because the temple was old and dilapidated in the very beginning when they took charge, couldn't close the doors properly. The pujari was thinking, if I go out and try to find some tulsi, some children might come inside a temple and spoil the bhog, or a dog may come in and defile it. So he wondered, he was in a dilemma what to do. It was nearing the time for Jagannath's offering, so he thought, "Dear Lord, I know you don't like to accept offerings without any tulsi, but please understand I made a mistake and the temple's so far away and it's time for your offering. Please accept this offering somehow or other." So he made the offering, and then he sat outside the temple during the offering to chant his noon Gayatri. Afterwards, he went in to do the aarti. He's about to remove the Jagannath plate of Mahaprasad, and he saw a 10-inch branch of tulsi leaf sticking out of the mound of rice. Where it came from, no one knows. He didn't put it there. No bird flew in the Garbhagriha, the Lord's inner sanctuary, and dropped off the tulsi. The Lord went out and plucked the tulsi himself and stuck it on his bhoga rice, and that way enjoyed tulsi's association. Jagannath Swami ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Jai Bhujipad Srila Jai Bhattaka Swami told the next story. This is about, they have nice prasadam down there. When ISKCON was taking over this temple and the adjoining lands, not everyone had signed it over to us. Therefore, Jai Bhattaka Maharaj was reluctant to accept responsibility for full worship until ISKCON had clearly taken possession of the property. Jai Bhattaka Swami didn't know that one of his ISKCON pujaris, probably his disciple, was already offering bhog from Radha Madhav's kitchen in Mayapur, carrying it by bicycle down to Jagannath. When he heard this instruction, was going on, he stopped the offerings, Jai Bhattaka that is. That night, Srila Jai Bhattaka Swami, he had a dream that he was going to wake Jagannath deities. He saw they were gone, they were not there. He saw them walking across the fields. He shouted, "Hey, where are you going? Hey, Jagannath Balaji Subhadra, wait." And they replied to him, "You're not feeding us, so we're walking to ISKCON, Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, 3 kilometers away. They have nice prasadam down there, lots of prasadam." Nice, I should say, nice bhoga. That's possible. When Jai Bhattaka heard this dream, he said, "I did not know you're already making offerings. Otherwise, I would never have told you to stop. I just wanted to make sure that the temple was in possession of ISKCON before we establish a proper, good standard of worship. But anyway, continue to make the offerings." And then the Pankajingri tells this story. That we started to offer chapan bhog, just like they do in Puri, which means throughout the day, a total of 56 different preparations are offered for the pleasure of Jagannath Swami. So to understand all the proper preparations, we invited some cooks from Jagannath Temple in Puri to teach us how to make the different proper preparations that Jagannath Swami likes. So our devotees learned nicely. And now we became, it's internationally famous, the wonderful taste of this Jagannath's lips, Adara Amritam. But this offering, Jananivas wanted to make this a daily program for the deities to offer chapan bhog. But he took a sankalpa and he went before Jagannath and he said, "Listen, We want to offer you Chapman Bog for 1 month beginning from this Purnima. And if we have that much money, we can afford 1 month. And if you want to continue it, then please make some arrangement. So then, the first day, Janani Vas Prabhu, he treated some guests to Jagannath Mahaprasadam. He told about his desire. And one guest immediately offered to sponsor the next month. And upon returning to Mayapur from that Rajpur Jagannath temple, Janani Vas Prabhu was telling one devotee about what had happened. And she in turn offered to pay for the next 2 months. So like this, one devotee after another has been stepping forward to pay for the program, and it's going on ever since. To ensure that Jagannath Swami never goes hungry again, we have started Nitya Seva scheme, where devotees and well-wishers give 25,000 as a one-time donation, which is kept in the corpus fund, and interest provides for one day's seva. We are happy to announce that we have received a very good response to this program. Lord Jagannath goes for walks. Before ISKCON built the new temple, the old temple was buried under a tree that was actually two trees, a banyan and a peepal. Locals said that often Jagannath would go out for walks. They never saw him, but they could hear him, especially on Saturday nights, ankle bells moving through the fields. And they saw a glow coming from the temple, and a very sweet, fragrant, attractive, flower-like scent would permeate the air. The fortunate, pious residents, they just assumed that the independent Lord Jagannath was taking a stroll in the evening air of Navadvip Dham, Snan Yatra festival. We'll continue with that story tomorrow. Jagannath Swami's Lila Charitamritam Ki Jai.